The following is a lecture entitled Spiritual Life, Fiction or Necessity, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on October 13th, 2011, in Klaipėda, Lithuania.
So, and everyone have a good time. Just chant Hare Krishna. Whenever you want to feel the bliss, whenever you want to taste the nectar that's there within your heart at every minute, just chant Hare Krishna. There are unlimited oceans of transcendental bliss right there within your heart. You just have to learn how to be a deep sea diver to go for those pearls. It's not difficult. All you have to do is chant Hare Krishna. With feeling. If you say it mechanically, it's not the same thing. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It's not the same. If you say with feeling, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, with feeling, you will feel the ecstasy. If you put your love into the mantra, you will feel the ecstasy coming back, bouncing back. This is a fact. I'm not making this up. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 40 years. Actually, more than 40 years. But I took it up seriously 40 years ago. And I can tell you there's nothing like it. Even though I'm a senior citizen, I feel like a young kid. You want to stay young forever? All you have to do is chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. With enthusiasm, with joy, celebration. Chanting Hare Krishna is not a funeral. It's a birthday. Every day can be your happy birthday, you see. You can chant Hare Krishna. When you chant Hare Krishna, you are having spiritual birth. You're being born as an eternal spiritual being when you chant Hare Krishna. You're coming into being. So if you like your birthday, if your birthday is a special day that you really enjoy your birthday, then chant Hare Krishna and every day will be your birthday. Now in this material world, you know, actually as you, the birthdays become not as joyful. You know, you go 60, 61, it means it's winding down, see. Especially every decade, you go, oh no, 20 is cool, 30, uh-oh. And 40, ooh. And 50, oh my God. And 60, ooh. And 70. And 80. You see, the birthdays aren't, they kind of lose their luster as you get older. Because you know you're getting closer to death, and that's not fun. But when you chant Hare Krishna, you are stepping on the head of death, you are conquering death. So you want to conquer death, or you want to be conquered by death? If you will chant this Hare Krishna, you will conquer death. You will achieve immortality even while you're existing within your present body. Did you know that body is not you? It's just a vehicle. It's like you drive a car somewhere. That's just a car. In Sanskrit, it's called yantra, machine. Your body is just a machine. According to your, just like some, according to your bank balance, you can buy a, you know, a certain type of car. If you're wealthy enough, you get a Rolls Royce, you see. If you're a poor man, you drive a cheap car. So according to your karma, you have a particular type of body. According to your past sinful and pious activities, you've been qualified for a certain type of body. So no matter what type of body you may have, it doesn't matter. As long as you drive it to the right place. So we teach our students how, doesn't matter what kind of karma you have, it really doesn't matter. You can have fantastic karma. You can have rotten karma. It doesn't matter. But if you will take your present body and you will connect it with the Supreme Absolute Truth by chanting this mantra. You're going to be on the ultimate journey. Back to your original identity. Did you know that originally you were an eternal youth? With unlimited knowledge and unlimited bliss. You were originally an eternal youth with unlimited knowledge and unlimited bliss. That was your original identity. But you misused your free will to try to experiment with being the center of the universe. So that's how you ended up here in this material world. Now all you have to do is reverse the process and you can go back to your original nature. Instead of using your free will to try to be the center of the universe, use your free will to be a servant of God. That's all. You don't lose your independence. You keep your independence. But you use it in a different way, that's all. And by doing that, you become reconnected with your blissful, all-loving, all-knowledgeable nature. So that is the, to do that, that is spiritual life. Now some people say spiritual life is a fiction. Because we're nothing but a bunch of chemicals, you know. There was some subatomic particles, you know, thumping in a random sort of way. And they cause a certain reaction that causes a certain reaction that causes a certain reaction. And here you are, a cosmic accident. But I ask you, does that make any sense? Here we are sitting in this nice hall, this nice room. If I told you, here's the way that this hall was built. One day, the workers came and they put up bags of cement. They put a bunch of wood and glass and all kinds of fixtures in a big pile, and they threw a stick of dynamite in it. Kowam, and here it was.
You see?
So that's what the scientists want us to believe. This beautifully ordered universe. With the sunrises, the sunset, the rose, the flowers, all the beautiful people, so many kinds of beautiful animals, horses and cows and deer. It's just a cosmic accident. It's insane. For them to say that spiritual life is fictional is just, it's insanity. Everyone can understand that they existed in the past. You remember when you were a little child? Everyone has remembrance from when they were little children. But where are the chemicals that make up that made up that little child's body? Those chemicals are all gone. So how can you remember when those chemicals are all gone? Because you, the same driver, were sitting in that, it was a different body, but the driver was the same. So spiritual life is not fiction. Spiritual life is common sense. Anyone who just uses their intelligence and analyzes things can easily understand the spiritual truth behind life. So do we really need it? Can we just be happy by making money and having sex and eating and sleeping, fighting? Can that make us happy? I mean, the animals appear to be happy, don't they? All they do is eat, sleep, mate, and defend. So can't we just be happy by doing that? If that was true, then why is there so much war going on in the world? Why so many people commit suicide every day? Why there's so many murders? Why there's so many rapes? Why there's so much thievery? And vandalism. Vandalism. Why this is going on? Because people are frustrated with this material conception. They're unhappy, they're miserable. The point is this, since you're a spiritual being, how can you be happy simply by satisfying your material needs? This is like you're driving your car and you take really good care of your car. You put gasoline in it. You keep it washed nicely. You put oil in it. You have it checked up regularly and make sure everything is working nicely. But you don't feed yourself. You don't eat. How long you drive that car? You won't last very long. You'll die. So, if you take good care of the car, but you neglect the driver, you cannot be happy. Even though your car may look really good, you're laying there dead in the front seat. Thinking, write your epitaph. He starved to death in the front seat of his Mercedes. He had just taken it to the car wash. It was all beautifully waxed, and he's dead because he didn't eat. So the point is this, your body is the Mercedes. And you are the driver. So don't neglect the driver. Don't neglect the spiritual being sitting within the car. We don't say neglect your body. You have to take care of your body, obviously. You have a car, you got to put gas in the tank, you got to put air in the tires and oil, etc. But does that mean that simply by taking care of your car, now your business is finished? You don't have to eat? Both things are there. But of the two, what is more important? Taking care of the car, taking care of yourself. It's obvious, taking care of the car is more important. So your first duty in life is to take care of your spiritual nature. Just like you feed your body with food, you have to feed your soul with devotion to God. Devotion to God is the fuel that empowers the spiritual being within. So how does one develop that devotion to God? This mantra, the science of mantra, is the secret method of how to easily awaken the feelings of love for God. If you will enthusiastically, as we were doing, chant the names of God, you will feel how the devotion for God is awakening within you. It just happens. This is a universal principle. Lord Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So if you can chant the name of God, you will feel a great awakening within you. That's why we have the Hare Krishna movement. We are not a sectarian religion. We are encouraging everybody to chant the names of God according to your own religion. Or if you don't have a religion, you can chant Hare Krishna with us. We want everyone to chant the holy names of God. Because this will make every man, woman, and child on the face of planet Earth completely happy. People won't be greedy anymore. They'll stop murdering one another and raping one another and cheating one another. If we can all chant the names of God, this will become heaven on earth. The whole planet will be heaven on earth. People become full of love, full of happiness. Everybody becomes friendly. Now people are so cold and impersonal. They walk around with scowls on their faces. But if everybody can chant the names of God, everybody have big smiles on their faces, just blissed out. So we have a saying: be blissed out. Don't miss out. So does anybody have any questions so far?
You mentioned that we should chant your feelings to get results. So where to get these feelings?
I mentioned a chant with feeling. Where to get the feeling? Get it from this program. We have the feeling here. So try to join with us. See if somebody else has the feeling, and they're chanting with feeling, and you chant with them. That feeling transfers to you. Did you feel anything? Did you feel any joy when you were chanting tonight with us? Or did you chant at all? Did you chant with us? Did you feel anything? Huh? You did. All right, now when you go home, just remember this meeting and pretend like you're back in the meeting. In your mind, just say, now I'm back at that meeting and I'm chanting in that kirtan with all the people, and just put yourself back in that mood and the feeling will come out again. And you can learn how to do it in any place. You can be all by yourself. Even in the shower you can chant with feeling. Any other questions?
Wow.
Tikrai manau, kad turit kažkokių tiek pasimų, galite kažkokius į savo bijonės, ar kažkokius pasidalinti kažkokį.
How many of you are regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Raise your hands if you're doing that. 1, 2, 3. That's nice. How many of you are doing some kind of meditation? Those who did not raise their hands, how many are doing some regular daily meditations? Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. There's three of you. That's good. There's many types of meditation. Mostly now people think of meditation as, just go go silent. But actually, if you utter the names of God, that will help you to go even deeper into a meditative state.
Dabar žmonės meditaciją laiko tiesiog buvimo tyloje, susikaupimo, bet jeigu jūs kartuosite mantrą, tai padėsim pasinerti į gilesnį būseną.
In this age it is stated in the Kali Santarana Upanishad that of all the types of meditation, in this age it is recommended to chant the holy names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I recommend our meditators, you try this.
Yra paminėta, kad iš visų meditacijų labiausiai rekomenduojama šiuo laikotarpiu yra kartuoti Hare Krishna mantrą. Rekomenduoju visiems pabandyti.
There's two ways. You can do it by singing or you can do this by softly uttering it. That can be done too.
Jūs galite tiesiog dainuoti arba tyliai pasau kartuoti.
Instead of just sitting in a silent meditation, try getting up early in the morning, taking your bath and sitting down in your meditation room and just going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Just try doing it for like 15 or 20 minutes.
Anksti atsikėlę, vietoj tylios meditacijos, pamėginkite 15 minučių pakartoti mantrą.
This is called real transcendental meditation. I mean, it's really, really powerful.
Tai labai galinga transcendentinė meditacija.
This was brought into this world by a great saint named Narada Muni.
Narada Munis atnešė į pasaulį šitą meditaciją.
By this chanting, he became so powerful that he can go anywhere he wants to without having to buy a ticket on Air Baltic. He can show up here in Klaipėda. Then he can, within a second, he can be in Washington. He can even go to the other planets. He can go to any planet, anywhere in the universe within a second and be there. He's called the liberated spaceman. And he carries this Hare Krishna mantra all over the world to teach people. He's the one who brought it to the earth. He can even go to the spiritual world at will. He can directly talk with God whenever he wants. And then he can come here to help us out when we need it. He doesn't ever get old. He doesn't need to buy a ticket. He doesn't need a passport or a visa. He can just show up wherever he wants without having to worry about a spaceship or anything like that. A breathing tank, he doesn't need a breathing tank. He can go anywhere he wants and be healthy and happy. So this chanting, you can achieve the same perfection. Become like you can become a liberated spaceman just by this chanting. You can get an eternal body that can go anywhere you want, in any world, any planet, any universe, wherever you want to go, material or spiritual. There's no meditation like this. We're not just teaching some meditators teach you how to levitate. You go 3 feet off, 3 inches above the ground. Oh, wow, look, I'm levitating. Look at this. We're teaching you how you can go anywhere to any universe you want within a second.
Galit pakilti pusmetrį nuo žemės, bet mes mokam meditacijos, kurios galit nuskristi bet kokią visatos vietą.
This is much more powerful system than any other type of meditation.
Tai daug galingesnė meditacijos sistema.
So any other questions?
Yes.
No, we'll defer to you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Lietuviškai paklauskite, nes jis neišgirs, nes prasta klausa labai.
Ar yra didelis skirtumas, ar tu mintise, ar tu šnurtysi, ar tu garsiai kartoji, ar tai vis dėlto yra tik mintis, vis dėlto?
Ar yra skirtumas, ar mes kartuojam antrą mintise, aš nimždom, ar garsiai?
There is some different if you chant in our mind, whispering or loudly.
Is there any difference between chanting in the mind or chanting loudly? Chanting in the mind is also very nice. It means you're remembering Krishna. It's very good. But if you will audibly say the mantra for at least 1.5 to 2 hours a day, that will give you more power. Both are good, but the making it audible makes it even more focused, increases the focus. In other words, you can intensify the potency of your meditation by making it audible, make it more intense. The actual audible vibration, Hare Krishna, has power to cut through the entire material energy. It cuts through the material energy. Just imagine if you could take a knife and you go zip, and you could rip you could actually cut through the material curtain and see God face to face. There's another side of reality. Right now we're on the material side. But there's a whole other dimension, the spiritual dimension, beyond this material dimension. And if you utter the mantra out loud, it has the potency to break through the covering. Like a transcendental spaceship. It can actually break through the covering and enter into the spiritual world. In Sanskrit we sometimes say mantra vimana, which means mantra airplane. So the mantra Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, is an airplane that can penetrate through the coverings of this material universe, and you actually can enter the spiritual universe by the power of the mantra. So, if you'd like to experience the other side of reality, try saying it out loud. Try saying it out loud as much as you can. Because you get 10 times more power that way. It's good to silently, but you get at least 10 times more power by making it out loud. Even if it's very soft, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just like maybe you're the only one in your house that chants and everybody else is asleep. So you get up and you chant silently so nobody, you know, softly so nobody will be woken up by you. Any other questions?
If you don't mind, I can add something.
Yes, please do.
We all want to do good for the everybody. So chanting audibly is helping so many living entities.
So Vishnupriya Mataji, this is my wife, everyone. Introduce my wife, Vishnupriya Mataji. She's made a very nice point that when you chant out loud, then it benefits all the living entities around you, because that vibration then can purifies and uplifts them. It's like you're out in the park, you know, in a beautiful summer afternoon, enjoying the refreshing breezes, and you chant, That means the trees are getting uplifted by your... When you chant out loud, the trees are getting uplifted. The grass, the flowers, the birds, the butterflies, they're all getting spiritually blessed because you're making the mantra out loud.
Tarkime, parke galite kartuoti mantrą ir kiekvienas medelis, kiekvienas žuvytė ir gėlytės taip pat gaus dvasinį naudą.
So the greatest meditator is the one who blesses all living entities.
Taigi, aukščiausias meditotojas tas, kuris taip pat ir neša palaimą visus.
So by chanting out loud, you can bless all the living entities.
Taigi, garsiai, garsiai, kartuodami.
This gentleman had a question.
Norėčiau paklausti, kaip išlaikyti proto koncentraciją nuo minčių blaškymosi ir to pačiu apsisaugoti nuo įžeidimo kartuojant šimtus vardus.
Klausimas, kaip sugebėti susikoncentruoti šventus vardus, kad išvengti šventų vardų įžeidimo.
How one can one can keep concentration, not lose concentration when he is chanting.
Mm. How to keep concentration when he's chanting? Well, there's two methods.
Yeah, two methods.
One is the mechanical method of the yogis, and that's a good method.
Vienas yra mechaninis jogų metodas, ir tai geras metodas.
And the other is the method, method of spontaneous attraction, which is practiced by advanced devotees.
O kitas yra pažengusio atsidavusio metodas, tai yra spontaninis potraukio.
It's good to be aware of both.
Gerai yra naudoti abu.
In the beginning, we have to do the system of the yogis, but as we advance, we can gradually follow the other method, which is even more powerful. The first method is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalamashtaram tatastato nayam yaitad atmanyeva vishamya. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So when you see your mind is going over here or going over there, you just say, okay, whoop, come here, mind, come back, like that. But as you become expert in keeping the mind fixed, then there's a whole other dimension that gradually awakens within you, and this is the really exciting one. This is described by a great saint named Rupa Goswami. Tunde tandamani riting vitinate tundavali labdaye karna karada kadamani katayate kunarvyudeva spiham Cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jani janita kriyadvam amritai krishneti varnadvai. Which means, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I utter Krishna, there's so much nectar in that sound vibration that my one little mouth is not enough to capture all the nectar. Therefore, I'm praying that I can have millions of mouths. And when the sound vibration Krishna enters the whole of my ears,
and
there's so much, there's so many unlimited oceans of nectar oozing from those names that I need to have billions and trillions of years to capture that nectar. And then when those syllables Krishna dance within the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. And I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. So this is a stage in the on the pathway of perfection called Ruchi. In the earlier stages, you have to fight it out with the mind, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. But when you reach the Ruchi stage, It's just like going deeper, 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 deeper into more and more and more and more and more nectar. There's no question of the mind going anywhere else.
Bet kai pasiekėte rūčių lygį, tuomet jūs tiesiog pastojate vis giliau, 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 giliau.
So if you can have faith in these words that I've spoken to you,
jeigu patikėsite šiais žodžiais, kuriuos aš jums pasakiau,
that there's unlimited nectar, unlimited oceans of nectar in every single utterance of Krishna.
Kad yra neriboti kiekiai nektaro kiekviename Krishna žodį.
Then it would be pretty easy to keep your mind fixed. You simply have to remember what I've told you just now. Always remember what I told you. It's a very important verse. Perhaps you've heard of that musician George Harrison of the Beatles. You've heard of the George Harrison?
Yeah.
Prabhupada told George Harrison to make a song out of that verse and make it a popular song. So that everyone can understand the importance, the power which is there in these two syllables, Krishna. So once you understand what is there in Krishna, you'll lose interest in all this other nonsense garbage floating around your mind. Any other question? Yes. All right, she's deferring to you.
Question is that I heard that Srila Prabhupada first his disciples asked to chant 64 rounds, but later he decreased this quantity.
Bhakti Siddhanta?
Srila Prabhupada asked his
disciples. Yes, and they couldn't do it, so they had to reduce. Yeah, so what's the
it
question?
It is true.
Huh?
It is. Ar tai tiesa?
Nu, aš kažkur per baktą esu girdėjęs, kad liepdavo 60 geriausių,
kad tai tiesa yra.
Jis tiesiog išprašė, kad mažiau
leisti. Jis asking, is this true or not?
Yes, Prabhupada is it. Did Prabhupada ask, originally asked the devotees to chant 64? And yes, he did, that's a fact.
Taip, faktas, Prabhupada buvo paprašęs.
And they said, Swamiji, we cannot chant 64 rounds. It's not possible for us to do that. And Prabhupada said, okay, you can chant 32 rounds every day then. They said, Swamiji, still, that's too much. We can't do 32 rounds. So he said, okay, 16. Prabhupada authors to do 16 rounds every day. And people have a hard time even doing that. 16 rounds takes 1.5 to 2 hours. That means 32 rounds would take 3 to 4 hours, and 64 rounds would take what? 4 times would take 6 to 8 hours a day. 6 to 8 hours a day. So if you had to spend 8 hours a day chanting your rounds, how much you go to work every day? How many hours do you work?
8 hours,
okay. And how much do you sleep at night?
4 or 5 hours.
4 or 5 hours, okay. So let's say 5 hours of sleeping and 8 hours of work, that's 13 hours. And if you chant 8 hours a day of japa, let's see, that's 5 plus 13, let's see, 16, what's that? 8 plus 8 plus 5, that's 16, that's 21, that'll give you 3 hours left for everything else. Every day. You have to commute also, it takes time to get to work and get back. You have to eat. You have to take bath. be hard for you to spend 8 hours every day chanting japa. It'd be very difficult, wouldn't it? Now, if you can do it, if you can do 64 rounds, please do. If someone can manage it, that's great.
Then working, it's not easy.
Yeah, that's true. See, you're next, but I haven't finished with him, but you are next in line. I'm finishing the answer. So, Prabhupada is very kind. He gave us 16 rounds as a concession. That can be done if one is very determined. Everyone can chant 16 rounds if they're determined to do it. But Prabhupada always said, chant at least 16 rounds. He never said only 16 rounds. He always said at least 16 rounds. If someone is retired and they have a whole day free, yeah, they can do 64 rounds, no problem. But how many people are free to, have all the day free? Most people have to work, they're busy going to school, they're taking care of kids, or so many things. So Prabhupada made a practical system that everybody can do 16 rounds. Now this nice lady here had a question.
Yra daug įvairiausių religijų ir jeigu žmogus nori pradėti darbinti Krishna, ar jam reikalinga kažkokio tai persikrikštymo daryti, ar ne?
Mm-hmm. There is many religions.
Many religions.
Many religions. Yeah. And if someone decides to worship Krishna, should he change something or what?
No, let's say someone is a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They would like to worship Krishna. They can do both things.
Krishna.
Because what does Lord Jesus say in the Bible? Our Father who art in heaven. But does the Bible say the name of the Father? It just tells you there's a Father in heaven. You don't know much about him, but you know that Jesus has a Father. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the Father reveals Himself. By studying the Bhagavad Gita, you get the special inside information that Jesus knew that He didn't tell the Jewish people in that time. In the book of John, Jesus said, I have more to tell you, but you're not ready to hear about it yet. That more knowledge that the Jews were not ready to see, whatever he told the Jews, they killed him for that, see. So he could only reveal a little bit, even what little he told, they nailed him to a cross. But he had much more, he knew much more than what he revealed to the people. So that more, that is Krishna. So if you can, Shanar, you can worship, on your little prayer table at home, you can put a picture of Jesus and you can put Krishna side by side. You can worship the Father, the God. See, Krishna, Jesus is God the Son, and Krishna is God the Father.
Yes, Jesus is Son, so your Dievas is Krishna.
So you can worship the Father and the Son. Both you put on your little prayer table at home. You can put Krishna and Jesus side by side. And you can bow down to both of them. And both of them will bless you. And they'll be very happy. Krishna will be happy that you're worshiping Jesus. And Jesus will be happy that you're worshiping Krishna. There's no, there'll be no conflict. You get double blessings by worshiping them both. Okay, anything else? Yes.
There was also part of the question, there are many religions.
Okay, Mr. Priya Manaji is asking, are there many religions? Thank you very much for that poignant question. Actually, there's not many religions. Because you can worship Jesus and Krishna at the same time, and that is one religion. Religion is means to develop pure love for God. That is the one religion. Man has invented this idea that there are different religions and they fight and kill each other in the name of religion. That is not religion. Real religion is one. To be a lover of God, that's all. Whether you worship Krishna or Jesus or Buddha or Allah, there is one religion. That's to be a lover of God. So the Krishna consciousness movement, we want to bring all the religions back to one religion again. That's our mission. We don't want to see this fighting going on. Even within Islam, you have the Sunnis and the Shiites killing each other. That doesn't make any sense. You see, it doesn't make any sense. There's this fighting going on within Christianity. The Protestants and the Catholics, they're fighting each other, you see. I was raised as a Protestant Christian. And there was a little girl next door. She was a Catholic Christian. So from the training I got from my parents and at Sunday school, I told that little girl next door, her name was Joni, I told Joni that Jesus doesn't love you. As a little boy, that's how I was taught. Jesus doesn't love the Catholics. Do I have any Catholics here tonight? Raise your hands. All the Catholics, raise your hands. Anyway. Here's one. That was obviously a wrong teaching. But that's the way I was taught. That Jesus only loves the Protestants, he doesn't love the Catholics. I mean, it's so stupid, all this nonsense, you know. Even within one religion, they're fighting with each other. What to speak of different religions? I mean, it's crazy. This is not love of God. This is garbage. So the Krishna consciousness movement says, throw out the garbage. Let's get back to the one true religion that will unite all men and women and children all over the world. And we are working to bring one religion back to this planet. Let there be one religion. To we all develop pure love for God, whether you call Him Allah or Krishna or Christ, it doesn't matter, but let's all develop pure love for God. By chanting His names. You can chant Hare Krishna. You can chant Allah Akbar. Or you can chant Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. If you want to, that's all right. But let's all get together and sing the glories of God, you see. Throughout the whole world, let everyone come in, everyone come out of their houses and sing and dance throughout the whole globe, in every street, in every neighborhood, in every office building, in every city, in every town, every village, every government hall. Let everyone come together and sing and dance the holy names of God. That is our revolution. We want to make a spiritual revolution on this planet. That everyone will become happy throughout the whole world. We won't waste all this money on nuclear weapons.
You see?
We can spend the money on wonderful Vishadam distribution. Everyone can be very well fed. In the whole world, not one hungry person anywhere in the world. If this movement becomes successful, we'll eradicate all the hunger on this planet. So please help us to make this Hare Krishna movement successful. That's our request. Any other questions? Yeah.
Krikščionys katalikai dažnai sako, kad Kristus valgė mėsą ir kad mėsos valgymas, gyvulių žudymas visiškai reiškia, neturi jokios reikšmės dvasiniam augimui. Ir kad tiesiog gyvuliai tam yra netgi duoti, kad reiškia, kad mes mėgaudomės jūs.
Jėzus Kristus katalikai sako, kad valgė mėsą ir kad mėsos valgymas neįtakoja dvasinės praktikos.
Christian people are telling that Jesus Christ was eating meat and that meat eating not affect your spiritual practice. Can you comment on that?
Christians say that Jesus was eating meat and meat eating doesn't affect your spiritual practice. Can I comment on that? One can, even according to Krishna conscious principles, in an emergency situation for survival, you can eat meat. If there's no way to survive, and you can eat meat to survive. So Christ in the desert was able to, according to the biblical description, he was able to get some, they ate some fish when they were out in the desert, but there was nothing else to eat. So there's nothing against that's there's nothing in our principles against that. But if there's full supply of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, and grains, why do you want to eat a poor fish or a poor animal? It doesn't make sense. Do you think those animals are machines? They don't have feelings? They don't have affection for their young? They don't have affection for their masters, if their loving masters? Anyone who raises an animal knows that animal has a personality. They're not machines. How you can kill a person and eat him? Those animals have personalities also. Every cow has its own personality. How you can kill a cow and eat it? That means you don't have a compassionate nature. Those who eat meat, they are eating murder. Would you like to eat murder? Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd. Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd, one who herds the sheep. He rescued a lost little lamb. There's a famous story. He rescued a lost little lamb. A lamb, a baby sheep. So do you think Jesus would? Can you imagine Jesus taking a knife and cutting the lamb's throat? And drinking that blood of the lamb and ripping him apart and throwing him in the fire and going, chomping down on the lamb. Can you imagine Jesus doing such a thing? Jesus would not do such a thing. He was not a cruel person. So this whole idea that, you know, Jesus is in favor of meat eating is ridiculous. We've even heard a report that they actually added that Jesus taught vegetarianism, but they went in and they rewrote the Bible later on because they wanted to convert the Roman emperor to become a Christian. The Roman emperor was a meat eater, and they wanted to make him. They wanted him to convert to Christianity. So they rewrote the Bible to allow for meat eating. But there was one book of the Bible that wasn't rewritten that was found in a Tibetan monastery in which Christ is promoting vegetarianism. And Prabhupada's opinion was that Christ started his movement as a protest against animal slaughter in the temples. So we don't accept that Jesus was sanctioning meat eating. We accept that meat eaters rewrote the scriptures. The Christian scriptures are not pure Christ teachings of Christ. They were tampered with later on by cheaters. And that's our opinion.
lietuviškai tokios tada. O man vis ta reinkarnacija vis tokia neaiški yra. Na, aišku, aš tikiu jie, bet tiesiog kai Biblija nagrinėja ir kai kalbi su įtikinti, maniem jie labai neigia tą reinkarnaciją. Tai kaip, kaip nu, jo nuomonė apie tai iš krikščioniškos pusės?
Biblijoje nelabai, kur yra kalbama apie reinkarnaciją, žmonėms labai sunku priimti, kad yra reinkarnacijos procesas. Ką mokytis galėtų pakomentuoti šiuo klausimu?
Also, in Bible, reincarnation is not mentioned, and for people who believe in Bible, it's very hard to accept that there is a reincarnation process.
So what actually, Bible is mentioned in the Bible. Reincarnation is mentioned in the Bible.
Biblijoje yra užsiminta apie reinkarnaciją.
It is described that John the Baptist was a reincarnation of the prophet Methuselah.
Apibūdinta, kad Jonas Krikštytojas buvo inkarnacija.
Vegetarianism and reincarnation were there, both there in the original Bible, but they tried to purge both of those things out.
Pirminės Jėzaus mokymas ir tiek reinkarnacija, tiek vegetarizmas buvo.
But they were a little sloppy in their purging. They left in references to reincarnation. There are many references to reincarnation in the Bible. If you begin to just go into Google and type in reincarnation in the Bible, and you'll see many, many references in the Bible that establish reincarnation. Many of them. One author wrote a whole book on the subject matter. Any other question? Yeah.
When Lord Buddha became enlightened, was he chanting some holy names or no?
And actually, Lord Buddha didn't need to chant. Because he was Krishna himself. Subscribed, he was predicted 5,000 years ago in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he would appear. So actually he's an incarnation of Krishna. He doesn't have to chant to become enlightened. But actually chanting mantras is part of the Buddhist tradition. That's a fact. And Buddha appeared to stop cow slaughter. That's why he appeared. So any Buddhist who's eating meat, they're not really a Buddhist. A Buddhist will strictly avoid any type of meat eating. Any other questions? All right.
Pradžios knygai buvo minėti, atrodo, kad Jakubas, esi, neatsimenu, kad tuviškai vadinasi, bet kad būtent paukoti gyvūnus, tą patį gyvūnų, kad irgi yra...
Pagal seną testamentą?
Senajam testamente yra minimos gyvūnų aukos, kaip mokės galėtų pakomentuoti.
In the Old Testament is many is mentioned about offering animals. How you comment on that? Because offering animals is killing animals.
Yeah. Yeah, those are for the less those are for the sin those prescriptions are for the sinful people. For those who are strict in their religious principles, the Bible says thou shalt not kill. In other words, there are two levels of instructions. For those who want to become on the pure spiritual level, and those who aren't ready for that yet, who want to somehow become a little more pious. Just like your government, they discourage smoking.
Kaip, pavyzdžiui, jūsų valstybė nerekomenduoja rūkymo.
But they allow it under restrictions. So we see in the Old Testament there they actually killing is prohibited. And for those who cannot stop it, they say, okay, if you must do it, then you do it in this way. That way they're restricted and limited, just like smokers, you know, they're restricted and limited when they're smoking. Because the government cannot stop it altogether, they discourage it like anything and give restrictions to those who do smoke. So in the Old Testament we see it's actually restricted. For those who just can't stop, all right, then do it under these restrictions. The same thing is there in the Vedas. The Vedas prohibit eating meat. But for those who cannot stop eating meat, they are allowed to kill a goat on the dark moon night. But they have to whisper a mantra in the goat's ear before they kill it. And now I am killing you and eating you. In the future you will kill me, and eat me. So those who kill the animals and eat the animals, they will take those same animal bodies in a future life, and that very animal that they ate will become a human and will kill them and eat them. That is called karma. That's why we say McDonald's, we call them karma burgers. Yeah.
In Vedas is mentioned very strange thing that moon is more far than sun. So how our cosmonauts can go to the moon?
Well, there's some question whether they really went to the moon or not. Because there's a very powerful demon called Rahu who has manifested a planet. The Rahu planet in outer space. He's a very powerful magician. He could have diverted them to the Rahu planet. Because the photographs we get of the moon don't look like the moon we read about in the Vedas. It looks more like the Rahu planet.
Nes tos nuotraukos, kurias kosmonautai atvežė, rodosi visiškai daugiau panašesnės į Rahu planetą, negu į Mėnulio planetą, kuri prašyta Vedose.
And even if they did go to the moon,
net jeigu jie nuskrido į Mėnulį,
what have we gained by going to the moon?
Ką jie tenais pasiekė?
Spending billions of dollars for a few rocks.
Išleido milijardus dolerių, kad pasigabentų porą.
I can go out here in the country and get a few rocks for free here in Lithuania.
Aš galiu už dyką porą akmenų jums duoti.
They spent billions of dollars to bring back a few rocks from outer space. Actually, even if they did go to the moon, they weren't able to stay there. Because according to the Vedic system and the laws of the universe, to enter a planet, you have to become a devotee of the god of that planet. There's a demigod in charge of the moon planet. Chandra. So if you're not a devotee of Chandra, you cannot get visa to remain there. So even if you go, you will have to leave. You cannot remain. Because you don't have visa. So their whole idea that by force they can go to other planets is a child's dream. They should read our book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. And we will tell them how they can go to all these planets and take up residence wherever they want. They have to know the art. That is described in our book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Any other question? Yeah.
I can ask you. Yeah. Vienu žodžiu, kaip kiekvienas kelias į Dievą, į Krishna yra kiekvieno gerbtinas. Na, kaip daug tų religijų, tradicijų, kultūrų, kultas, kultūra irgi iš to pačio žodžio apie tai sako. Na ir pavyzdžiui, jeigu paliesti šamanus, kurie, na, Amerikoje, dabar Amerika klesti Europos karų sąskaitą ir ten tie indienai iš tikrųjų tikrieji gyventojai ir ten yra tie šamanai. Na ir jų kelias į Dievą taip pat yra girtinas ir kaip, bet čia buvo klausimas apie rūkimą, žūdimą, žodžiu, na aišku, kad iš rūkimo labai daug valstybės susižiūrė pinigų, kaip ir iš alkoholio biznė, žodžiu, tai yra pelninga valstybė visom šalims, kurios tai gamina. Na, žodžiu, tie šamanai, jie rūkydavo ir jie pasiekdavo nirvaną, na tai nėra žūdimas kažkokio gyvūno, kažkokia žolė, žolė rūko žmonės ir labai džiaugiasi, nori pasiekti tą būseną. Na, truputėlį apie tai, kad ar tai, kas tai yra, kad, na, pas tu gal dar klausimą.
Visos dvasinės praktikos keliai Dievo yra gerbtini ir ką mokytojas galėtų pasakyti apie šamanus Amerikos, kurie vartodavo įvairias psichodelinės, rūkydavo visokias žolelės ir pasiekdavo nirvanos būseną. Ką mokytojas galėtų apie tai pasakyti?
All way to God is respected, all traditions is respected. And we know that in America there was shamans who was smoking some herbs and they can achieve also nirvana. So this is their spiritual way. How you can comment on that?
Someone who smokes marijuana?
No, Indian shamans, America, nation America.
Now there are someone who actually, whatever one can achieve by smoking herbs is still on the material plane.
Jeigu žmogus kažką tai nori pasiekti, rūkydamas kažkokios iš žolės, jis yra materialioje platformoje.
They may think they've attained nirvana, but nirvana means totally beyond the material energy.
Gali galvot, kad pasiekė nirvana, bet iš tiesų yra pilnai
materialioje. As long as you're dependent on a material herb for your so-called high, you're not really in nirvana yet.
Tol žmogus priklauso nuo kažkokių materialių žolių, kad pasiekė nirvana, jis...
They may think they've gotten nirvana, but they haven't gotten nirvana.
Galima galvot, kad jis kažkokio esi nirvana.
Many hippies also took LSD, psilocybin, and mescaline, and thought they had achieved nirvana, but actually they weren't there. And one wants to attain nirvana. This powerful mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, is the most powerful way to achieve nirvana very quickly. So this will be our last question.
Nirvanos siekimas yra tuštybės siekimas.
It is nirvana some emptiness, some void.
Is nirvana emptiness or void?
Nirvana yra tuštuma.
The Buddhistic conception of nirvana is entering into nothingness.
Buddhistinė nirvanos koncepcija yra patekimas į
merging into the void.
Susiliejimas į.
But if everything was void,
bet jeigu viskas yra tuštuma,
there's no one to do the merging.
Tai nėra kam susilieti.
So it doesn't really make any sense that everything is void.
Taigi nėra labai logiška susilieti tuštumą.
That's why the Bhagavatam is the path of Krishna Bhakti is called Nirvana Vilambitani. That which minimizes the value of Nirvana. The Buddhistic Nirvana is actually entering into the border between the spiritual and material worlds. You're not in the material world anymore, you're liberated from the material world. But you're not qualified to go past the border into the inner regions of the spiritual world. You're stuck at the border. There's a sense of relief from all the material pains. But you don't experience the bliss of being a resident of the spiritual world. It's like in communist Russia, you know, getting to, you made it to the Berlin Wall and they allow you to sit on top of the wall, but you can't cross into the West. You have to stay on the Berlin Wall.
Kaip bandant perlipti per Berlyno sieną, galite užlipti ant sienos ir sėdėti, bet neperėti.
You made it out of East Germany, now you're up on the wall. They say, well, you can sit on the wall, but you can't go into the West. You have to stay sitting on the wall. That's Nirvana.
Buvo sakoma, kad ant sienos buvo leidžiama užlipti ir sėdėti, bet perlipti kitą pusę buvo negalima. Tai
So, one has to... Nirvana is achieved as a by a process of negating all the material things.
Nirvana yra pasiekiama neigiant visus materialius dalykus.
The absolute truth is not this, it's not that, and you negate.
Jis viską neigia, tai neabsoliutiesa, tai nėra absoliutiesa, tai nėra absoliutiesa.
Until you've negated everything of this material existence.
Kai paneigiat visą materialią egzistenciją.
But after you've negated everything, what do you, there's one more thing you have to negate. You know what that is? You've chopped down the whole forest with your chopper of negation. Now there's one thing left to get rid of. The chopper. Finally, after you've negated everything, now you have to negate negation. And then you become qualified to meet a bona fide spiritual master who will impart transcendental knowledge into your heart that will carry you beyond nirvana into the spiritual existence. Where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. In unlimited varieties of loving relationships with the Supreme Lord and His eternal associates. That says, Krishna says, Paramam Nirvanam, the supreme Nirvana that abides in me. So the bona fide spiritual master, he will carry you, and if you trust him, he will carry you into that realm beyond nirvana. You will experience
nirvana
when you cross the border. But you won't stop there. You say, I want to go to the inner regions of the spiritual world. I don't want to just stay at the border. Okay, our time is up. I don't know. What this? All right, I'll be kind and one more. This is the last. This is absolutely the last one now.
I won't.
Okay.
Vietinės kultūros, nu, reiškis, vietinė kultūra praktikuojant religiją, vakaruose dažnai yra atšaukiami stabmeldžiai. Koks yra skirtumas, reiškis, sakykime, tarp vietinės religijos ir stabmeldystės?
Kaip stabmeldystė angliškai, kad žinau? Doll worship.
One who practices Vedic culture in Western countries, people say that he is doll worshipper. So what is different between Vedic culture and doll worshipping?
What kind of worshipper? Doll?
Doll worship.
Idol.
Doll, yeah, idol, idol worship.
Idol, for piece of wood.
Yeah, idol worshipper, yeah.
Yeah,
pagans, but they are... So they will say you are worshipping idols. So, what is the question then?
What is different between idol worship and Vedic culture?
What is the difference between... the difference is... God is actually present in the form of the deity. Idol means God is not there, it's just an imagination. The Bible says, thou shalt not work any graven image. That's what the Bible says. Don't worship any graven image. That means, like you engrave something, you carve it. Don't worship any form that is made by man. That's what the Bible says. We don't do that. We worship God Himself. He appears in this form. He's not made by human hands. He appears in that form. That is His sweet will. Is God limited or unlimited?
Not limited.
That's right. So if He wants to appear in a form, a material form that's visible to our eyes, He can do that. He has the power to do that. So the deity in the temple is a form in which the Lord has kindly agreed to appear in a form that is visible to our eyes.
A
pure devotee of Krishna, he can see Krishna everywhere. He doesn't need to worship deity. He can see God everywhere. But the neophyte devotee, he can't do that yet. He's not advanced enough to see God everywhere yet. So how will he connect with God? Through the chanting he will connect. In sound vibration. Through his ears connect with the mantra, and his eyes connect with the deity. So that is God's kindness. Just like the postal service, they will put mailboxes around the city. For people who are not able to go all the way downtown to the post office, they can go to their nearby mailbox and put their letter there, and it will get to the destination. So God in the spiritual world, that is like the downtown post office. In the neighborhood mailboxes, that is like the deities in the temple. You understand? All right, we will stop now. Right, you had something more?
No, I want to add something. And the deities are not idol. Idol is something that you imagine. But deities are described in the scriptures.
That's right. She's saying the deities are, these deities are based on scriptural descriptions, and they are confirmed by the spiritual masters. They are not according to somebody's, they're not made up by somebody, they're all authorized by the by Krishna Himself. These forms that we worship are authorized by Krishna. Krishna has agreed to appear in these forms. Even in the photograph of the deity, Nitya Gaurachandra, Krishna has appeared. Krishna and Balaram have appeared. They are actually present right here in this room right now in this photograph. Did you see when I came in, I bowed down to them? I got on the floor and paid my obeisances. The guy could see, here is God and here is God's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. I immediately got down on the floor and prayed to them for their blessings. Because I can see, here is God. Okay, we'll stop here now. We have, the next program is books.